Call 866-485-9867 to get your groove on. Live from the alluring Big Dog Production Studios, it's time for the Big Dog After Dark.
You guys there? Did I mention it's time for Beat the Big Dog? I mean, are you kidding me? You guys like to pick games, don't you? Man, do you dry up when you get to that week after the regular season is over. Holy mackerels. We still got the NFL going on here. I got tickets to the Music City Bowl if you can beat me on these games. 866-485-9867. That gets you in. 866-485-9867. I'm not playing to Beat the Big Dog sounder until we got our contestant. Okay, so if you want to play, I've got six games coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday games that are coming up this weekend, and we'll do them against the spread. And if you beat me, you get the tickets. It's that easy. It's a throwback Thursday in a doghouse. Your number, of course, is 866-485-WUMP. 866-485-9867 will get you in. The digital doghouse is open. The Twitter feed is at Tom Abraham Show. The Facebook fan page, you can throw us a like at Facebook.com/Tom Abraham Show. Then there's the text window, 7329-TA-SHOW. 732-982-7469 will get you in. Just like that. Don't forget to follow the Ump on Twitter, at Ump Sports, and on the website, at UmpSports.com, and on the Facebook page, at Facebook.com/UmpSports. And today is also, as I said, Throwback Thursday. That means throwback music. And this Thursday and next Thursday, we're featuring our favorite Christmas music, although it's Dog After Dark music now for the rest of the show. But we are taking requests, so feel free to text us your favorites, and they'll get in to next week's Christmas Throwback Thursday.
You know, there are rules to success, my friend. Rule number one is, know what you know what you don't know, and know that I got to know everything to know. Listen to the
All right, so Chris in Huntsville is going to give it a shot. We'll see. I'm 44 and 40 on the season. You guys, 48 and 36. I got to do some damage here.
I don't know how to say this without sounding a little rude, but you're a lemon.
I'll be a lemon. We don't want you to be a lemon. Now, Beat the Big Dog goes all the way through the Super Bowl. And keep that in mind, and so does the Friday Trifecta go through the Super Bowl as well. So we'll have Beat the Big Dog and the Friday Trifecta right through the Super Bowl. And don't forget, too, if you want to play the TOC Sports Huntsville Hospital Doghouse Bowl Challenge, all you got to do is go ahead and get signed up at ESPN.com's Capital One Bowl contest thing there. And to get to it, to find the link to it, all you got to do is go to the Facebook page at Facebook.com/Tom Abraham Show, and there's a link for it right there. There's also a link in my Twitter feed. I probably should redo it, and I will redo it. But right now, I'm looking at it, and we're coming up on about 50 people in it so far. We're at about 50 people so far, and the TOC has put up their suite, ice suite, at an upcoming Huntsville Havoc game to get into that deal. So, you know, you can play. All right, Chris is in Huntsville. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Doing good. Just got off work.
All right, Matt, you're going to get a shot here to win tickets to the Music City Bowl, this year's Music City Bowl between Northwestern and Kentucky. I've got six games here. They're all NFL games because I don't like any of the bowl games this weekend. We'll have a bunch of bowl games in there for next weekend. But do you want it? We're going to alternate our picks. Do you want to go first in the first game or the second game?
I'll go in the first one.
All right, here you go. Your first game is actually a Saturday game. It's the Chargers -1.5 at the Chiefs.
I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Ooh, okay. All right, I thought for sure you were going to go with the Chiefs there. I'm taking the Chiefs at home in that game. I know the Chargers have been hot, but I think the Chiefs might be through their lull. And, I mean, this is huge, this game. The winner of this game is going to go on, I think, to win the AFC West. I'll take the Chiefs to gather it up and start looking like the way they looked, a little bit closer to what they looked like at the beginning of the season. So we're on the opposite side of that one. Even though I typed Chargers in my on my side of the list, and now I've changed it. Okay, our next game is the Packers getting 2.5 at the Panthers. This is the return of Aaron Rodgers. The Packers need this game to stay in the playoff hunt. The Panthers need this game to stay in the hunt for the to win the NFC South. Man, this is a tough one here, but I'm gonna take the homestanding Panthers here. I mean, I'm gonna pull for the Packers because I like the Packers, but I think that the Panthers get the victory here. They finish off the pack. They'll have to make a decision as to whether or not to play Aaron Rodgers in the last two games. But I'll take the Panthers at home. What do you got?
I think Rodgers is going to not skip a beat. I'm going to take the Packers.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong on that one. I hope you get that one right. All right, our next game, you're picking first. Huge game out west in the NFC West. The Rams get 2.5 at Seattle.
I think the Seahawks are going to come out mad after last week. I'm going to pick Seattle.
I think she beat them earlier this year in L.A., maybe. I think they did. I'm with you here on Seattle as well. I think the closer we get to the playoffs, the Rams have had a wonderful year. But I think that I think Seattle is the experienced team here. You got to like Russell Wilson over Jared Goff, and I'm going to go ahead and take Seattle with you there. All right, on this one, it's the Titans getting 1.5 at the 49ers. I think the Titans are highly embarrassed. They're embarrassed about this line. They're embarrassed about the way they've been playing. They have to win this football game. I mean, you know, the 49ers don't have to win it. Jimmy Garoppolo has been really good in his first two starts. I'm taking the Titans here to bounce back, though, and get the victory. And the 1.5 is just gravy. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that one.
All right, so you got the Titans as well. All right, this one you go first. The Dallas Cowboys still in this hunt. Still in this hunt. They're a 2.5-point favorite at the Raiders. What about the Cowboys minus 2.5 at Oakland?
I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
I'm going to go on the other side of that one there. I'm going to take the homestanding Raiders getting points at home. I think they are a better team than what they have shown. You know, the Ezekiel Elliott thing is an issue. The Cowboys on grass, not great. I'm going to take the Raiders at home. Their hopes are fading. Tough loss for them last week. They got to have this. They got to bounce back up. Both teams are desperate, but I'll take the Raiders. Okay, and then this last one, this is the big one of the weekend. This is the Patriots at the Steelers. Patriots are a 2.5-point favorite at the Steelers. I know the Patriots never lose two in a row, and they're going to be there against the Steelers. The place is going to be a madhouse. Maybe there's a little bit of a chink in the armor with the Patriots. I'm not impressed with the fact that they picked up, you know, Kenny Britt, a guy that the Cleveland Browns found to be totally unfit for them. I'm going to take the Steelers at home to extend the Patriots' woes, and the Steelers lock up home ice throughout the playoffs. I'm not going to say I'm a Steeler fan, but I'm going to take the Steelers in this one here. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Steelers too.
Okay, so you're on the Steelers as well. So in summation, I've got the Chiefs, and I'm getting 1.5 at home against the Chargers. You got the Chargers. That game is Saturday. I've got the Panthers at home against the Packers. I'm laying 2.5 to you. You've got the Packers. We both like Seattle giving 2.5. The Seattle Seahawks giving 2.5 to the Rams at home. I've got the Titans. We both like the Titans getting 1.5 at the 49ers. I got the Raiders, and they are getting 2.5 at home against the Cowboys. You got the Cowboys. We both like the Steelers, and the Steelers are getting 2.5 points at home from the Patriots. All right, Chris, good luck with this, and you know, tune in on Monday to make sure to find out how you did.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Chris in Huntsville getting in on that deal. So you know, that's we'll see. We'll see all NFL games here. All NFL games here today. All right, phone lines are open. If you want to get in, you can jump in at 866-485-9867. A couple of things that we have touched on today for those of you like Chris that are just jumping in your rig. You know, this whole thing about Major League Soccer going to Nashville, and there's a lot of excitement up there about whether or not they're going to get a team or not. And they keep talking about, you know, can Nashville handle another Major League pro team and so on. And it's down to four cities. T-Mac, you haven't seen anything yet today, right? They haven't made the decision yet?
I haven't. No, radio silence on my end.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen anything. I don't know if
Yeah, I haven't seen anything yet on it, whether or not they've made the decision. But at this particular point in time, it doesn't seem like anything has been decided on the deal. The point is that, you know, I think Nashville and Sacramento are the two best choices out of the four cities. The other two cities, I think, are dying cities in Detroit and Cincinnati. And the Cincinnati thing befuddles me because, you know, one of the teams in MLS that has been a staple team is the Columbus Crew. And they're talking about moving to Austin because they want a new stadium. That Crew Stadium that they play in Columbus, that stadium is the first soccer-specific stadium ever built in the United States. It holds about 20,000 people. I actually worked the sidelines in 1998 or 99, I think it was 98, for the U.S. Open Cup Championship between the Rochester Raging Rhinos and the Colorado Rapids in that building. It's a beautiful soccer stadium. It is what it is. It's a soccer stadium. They're little, these soccer stadiums. But they want a new stadium already, and they're talking about moving to Austin, Texas, and so on. But the big question is really, you know, what's major about Major League Soccer? I mean, when you look at the numbers, when you look at the people that watch this stuff, you know, what is big time about Major League Soccer? I'm not feeling it. I mean, you got 10 or 11 million people that are watching regular season college football games. You got 20 million people watching the NFL on a Sunday. With the numbers down, you got 20 million people. The MLS didn't even get a million people to watch a championship game. I mean, the NHL crushes that. Premier League is big time soccer, and that's on NBC Sports Network. But Premier League games, they do better than the MLS championship game did. Baseball has about the same numbers as the NBA. Both are a little bit ahead of NASCAR. The World Series and the college football national championship game and the NBA Finals all get about the same audience. But it's like 15 or 20 times bigger than the audience for, you know, for an MLS game. I'm not feeling it. I mean, if you want it, fine. But don't be talking about it, you know. It's double-A soccer. I mean, the baseball team up there, they got a triple-A baseball team there. Their baseball team is closer to being major league than Major League Soccer is. There's nothing major league about Major League Soccer. What is major league is this deal, T-Mac? What do you think about this deal with Disney buying, you know, 21st Century Fox today, closing that deal? And they get the deal is worth $52 billion in stock and $13 billion in debt that Disney is assuming from 21st Century Fox. And as part of the deal, they get everything except for Fox Television Network, the Fox News Channel and Business Channel, FS1 and FS2, and the Big Ten Network, which means ESPN now gets all 22 regional sports networks. You know, Fox Sports South.
Yeah. Wow. I mean,
we're gonna have a bunch of small, you know, mini ESPNs now. All of this stuff.
How close is ESPN becoming to a monopoly? You know what I mean? It's pretty crazy. I know they don't have the big Fox ones like FS1 and all that stuff, but I mean,
yeah, they
still
keep FS1 and FS2, but that, you know, but that's it. I mean, you know, for them to now get regional sports networks. You know, like I said, this is going to be like 20. They get the YES Network in New York. That's a valuable network. That's the Yankees Entertainment System network that was, you know, became a part of Fox. And now they get the YES Network, Prime Ticket, Fox Sports West in Los Angeles. They'll now have 44 professional teams in Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL on local, you know, on a regional basis. That's huge. What are they going to be like? ESPN South and ESPN Midwest? And
naming
I mean, that's what they'll be.
Yeah. Naming them is going to be interesting.
Well, and then the other part of that will be, what do you do with, you know, I wonder how it'll affect their programming for, like, you might air Pac-12 specific stuff in Fox Sports West. And SEC-specific stuff and Fox Sports South. I mean, the SEC network is a nationwide network. But I wonder how much love the SEC network gets in California. Right. I mean, there might be other type SEC stuff that you'll want to put on Fox Sports South. feature programming and things like that that is specific to the South.
It's a good point, and that's going to wipe out some other stuff that they put on all those networks. I'm interested to see what they do differently now that they're ESPN. You know what I mean? Like you mentioned, putting some SEC stuff out there. It's a big deal. I haven't heard much out of it other than you and some guys on Twitter, but this is gigantic.
Well, $52 billion. I mean, it's a pretty big deal.
That's a decent payday.
A little chunk of change. All right, let me go back to the lines. Danny T is up next. Danny T, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you?
Fantastic.
Who is telling you that MLS is Major League?
That's their title, Major League Soccer. You know, they call themselves Major League Soccer. And then if you go to the Tennessean, you know, one of the questions they ask is, can Nashville handle another Major League professional sports league? And I'm like, there's not. It's the Arena League. You know what I mean? It's not.
Yeah, you're cussing the Arena League by saying it's the Arena League of Soccer. Tom, any lower level team in any European league would cremate the MLS champion. MLS soccer is boring, even for somebody who's ADD like me. I mean,
you know, they used to get in the AFL games there when they had the Nashville Cats when they first got it. They used to get 15, 16,000 people. Now, they'll get some big crowds early on, but I'm telling you, a year or two in, I don't know that they'll average as many people as they used to get for an AFL game there.
I mean, there's nothing to the MLS. It's slow. It's boring. It's a bunch of prima donnas showboating. I mean, the washouts and the has-beens from the European leagues playing MLS.
You go there late in your career, right? You go there and you get paid a big chunk of dough, and you come back from Europe if you were an American or some European guys that can't play in the Premier League anymore. They'll go make a few extra dollars at the end of their career, bumping around in the MLS. And then the other thing about that is they've been saying, you're old enough to remember 72,000 people showing up at Giants Stadium to see Pelé play for the New York Cosmos in the 70s. Yeah. And they were saying, oh, this is the start of the revolution, soccer in America. I don't mean the New England revolution.
Let me tell you what happened to the revolution.
It was 40 years ago. That was 40 years ago. And nobody still goes.
Let me tell you what happened to their so-called revolution. They did not try to win grassroots America. They went for the big-time money grab from the beginning, and it wound up biting them in their collective tush.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, soccer is nothing but a bunch of spoiled little rich snot-nosed brats who think they've got some athletic talent running around in shorts pretending that, you know, they're God's gift to the sport, and they couldn't even get a spot on a fourth division team in Europe.
I'll tell you one of the things that, you know, I'll watch it sometimes on a Sunday morning. You know, I'll watch it. I'll watch a premier game. You know, if it's on in the studio, I'll throw it on there. Because you can really see the good soccer. You know what I mean? And my son-in-law is a big Manchester United fan, so that makes me a Manchester United fan. And, you know, we sat together and watched.
That's what happened to us Sunday, huh?
Yeah, we watched Manchester United and Manchester City, and I was pulling for United. I made it for Man U, and look what happened. I mean, that's what happens. Anytime I pull for a team, they go in right in the crapper. Having said that, as I was watching it on NBC Sports Network and all of the coverage, I said to him, I said, look, no disrespect, because he's a Limey. He's from Wales. I said, why don't they put American broadcasters on this? It would feel so much, when you watch it on NBC Sports Network, you got to listen to the British announcers and the British color guy and everything else. And I know they understand that game and everything else, but you can't find a couple of American broadcasters. I think you would have a better chance of grabbing American audience if it didn't feel like you were eavesdropping in on the British game. You know, and I don't care what they do with our NFL games over there. I assume that when they carry the NFL, they get the NFL broadcasters from Fox and CBS and things like that. Okay, fine. But I'm just saying, if they want us to like it, first thing is I ought to be able to understand what the announcer is saying, you know, instead of having to listen to that godforsaken King's English that they speak over there. Talk to me in American.
Right.
How's that for being
American?
I agree
with you. There are so many former players that are my age who have played in the European leagues, who now live back in the States, who are knowledgeable about both soccer and broadcasting enough to do an American version of the play-by-play. Mm. I agree with you. I thoroughly do not understand what the hell NBC's problem is, where they don't go out and get a Tony Meola or somebody from that era.
Well, the Lawless there. What's his name? Lawless. Alex Lawless. You don't want to put him on again.
Lolly Lawless.
Lolly Lawless. Put somebody on it. It's not a real hard game to understand. I mean, hell, I did sidelines for it. You know what I mean? I mean, I did some color on soccer games. It's not like
it,
it's, you know.
That ought to tell you something.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, these people, they say that, oh, it's just you don't understand the game. I understand a game. You got a ball that's the size of a basketball. You got a net that's the size of Connecticut. Knock it in there, okay? And, you know, in offsides. You got one rule. It's offsides. You half the time you can't tell what's a foul and what's not a foul. The officials are rigged. They call whatever they want to call. You know, what's a yellow card? What's a tackle? That was a clean tackle. Guys dive all over the place. You know, that game on Sunday morning, there should have been three embellishment calls in that game. Three times guys dove, blatantly dove. And you know, you can get a penalty. It's like hockey. You can get a penalty on a dive. Well, they needed to get a card for diving, but they didn't.
I mean, Manchester United played like crap. The officiating was crap. And I'm surprised City didn't beat us worse than what they did. Mm. So.
All right, man.
But, you know, anybody that tells you, okay, I'll end with this. I'll use a conversation you and I had years ago. You took me to my first Nashville Predators game. You told me then that after watching the Havoc, you said, watch the difference in the speed and the talent between what you have grown accustomed to watching the Havoc and what you see tonight. That, my friend, is exactly the way I feel about the difference between MLS and the European leagues.
I mean,
exactly the gap of difference.
All right. It's a good job by you, Danny T. Good hearing from you. All right, let's get a break. When we come back, we'll rewind it next. It's the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039, The Ump.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump, WUMP.
Madison RV.
You're a savvy buyer waiting for the right time to buy an RV. Well, your wait is over. Find unbelievable prices during Madison RV's end-of-year clearance sale. Every Madison RV on the lot is marked down. All motorhomes, fifth wheels, and travel trailers. You'll never find a better time for inventory, price, and financing. There's still plenty of time for tailgating and camping. Don't miss Madison RV's end-of-year clearance sale going on now.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I'm 51 years old, and 6 months ago, I started taking Andro 400 to increase my testosterone. Since then, I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger. And now my wife tells me I have to take Andro 400.
Hi, this is Ron Johnson from Utah. After 10 weeks of taking Andro 400, I lost 13 pounds, and my waist went from 36 to 33. That was 8 years ago. I continue to take Andro 400, and I've maintained my weight at 172. Gained muscle and energy. I'm 63 now and feel better than I have in 30 years.
Andro 400, the natural way to increase testosterone, lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel great. Try Andro 400, the safe, effective, affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Time is a precious resource. Each day, we look for ways to get things done in a more efficient manner. When it comes to your business, you not only need things done fast, but you need them done right. At Minuteman Press, Jonathan Dunwoody and his team pride themselves on making sure they deliver the best products and services for your company as quickly as possible. Whether you have printing or signage needs, solo direct mail pieces, banners, yard signs, even vehicle lettering and graphics, Minuteman Press handles all types of signage and printing, and since 2008 has helped thousands of businesses in North Alabama grow with their printing needs. Stop in and see Jonathan and his team at Minuteman Press. Minuteman Press, 2250 Sparkman Drive, right off North Parkway next to the Super Walmart. At Minuteman Press, we're not just putting ink on paper, we're building relationships.
Come to the Humidor Pipe Shop for the last cigar show of the year, this Friday, noon to 5:30, just in time for Christmas. Camacho Cigars will be in the house with great deals on these very popular ones. Also, great deals on boxes of Avo cigars. Come get what you really want for Christmas. Great deals, swag, and fun. Avo and Camacho, this Friday, noon to 5:30, at the Humidor Pipe Shop, Memorial Parkway Southwest. Where, as always, you can smoke in the lounge.
Your Tennessee Titans stay out west, this time to Levi's Stadium, home of the San Francisco 49ers. The award-winning Titans countdown is on the air at 2:30 Central. Then the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith, and Coach Dave McGinnis call the action of Titans and 49ers with a 3:25 Central kickoff. It's the Titans and the 49ers this Sunday on this Titans radio station.
On your new home for the Titans, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Are you at risk for whooping cough? Pertussis, also known as whooping cough, is an extremely contagious respiratory illness that can cause a violent cough lasting up to 10 weeks. Pertussis is spread through the air when an infected person breathes, coughs, or sneezes. Over 48,000 cases of pertussis have been diagnosed in the United States, the highest number of cases since 1955. And even though you may have gotten the DPT shot when you were a child, over time, your immunity to pertussis declines, leaving you and those around you at risk. Even if you've received a tetanus shot in the past, there's a high likelihood it did not contain pertussis protection. Receiving the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine will not only protect you, but also prevent you from spreading the disease to others, especially to young children for whom whooping cough can be fatal. To find out more about the tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis vaccine, be sure to talk to your pharmacist or doctor today.
Weather sponsored by Account Temps. Demand for top talent is high. Let Account Temps help you find the highly skilled temporary accounting and finance professionals who can hit the ground running. Visit AccountTemps.com. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
The sky will stay mostly fair tonight, the low 28 degrees. A colder day tomorrow, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 45. Saturday, sunny during the day. Clouds move in Saturday night, the high 45. And Sunday, mostly cloudy with rain moving in by afternoon, the high 53. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Wipe your paws. It's time to enter the doghouse.
Back dog after dark. A question on a testimony. Have you heard anything about FSU picking up Butch Jones? I saw one story on a Gator website that said that FSU was getting ready to hire Butch Jones as the offensive coordinator, but I'm not seeing anything else about it. Again, once we're in showtime, I can't do a lot with that. You know, the team's going to have to help me with that. We'll see what we can find on it, but right now that's all I've heard about that. All our guests appear on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. And that included right off the top, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.com. Roland Lazenby was in as well, wrote the book on Kobe Bryant. Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com joined us. Matt Scalise did not make it in, but Tom Luganbill did from ESPN. They are all in. The Woody Anderson Ford Rapid Rewind. Would you give the Detroit Red Wings a new coach? Because nobody's going to the game. They suck. And nobody's going to the game. And I just looked up the thing. I watched that game last night because I'm a Bruins fan, and I
I saw that. Plus, I had my original six rule. I have to watch at least every game that's two original six teams. And it says there are 19,500 people there. There was nobody there. I mean, I know they had some snow, but it's Michigan, for God's sakes. Big deal, 7 inches of snow. But there was nobody in the stands. And I'm hearing things like Mike Milbury being very honest, saying that the people go to the game there, and it's like a mall, and they don't even go in the arena. They just go to restaurants and stuff in the building and don't even come into the arena. They got a problem there.
Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, I think it's all a problem with motivation. I mean, you know, when the team's not good and they're not good and they're clearly in some level of a rebuild that, you know, quite frankly, I think there's even a second layer of depression in Detroit where, you know, they've got to get through all the salary cap stuff to figure out even how to fix the team. I just think that, you know, knowing you might not go, if there's other stuff to do inside the arena, you might hang out there. Rather than watch the game. I do think, though, that's, you know, your point's an interesting one because it is kind of a modern arena problem, I think. And I think this is probably, you know, prevalent in a lot of places now where there's so many bars and restaurants and places to watch the game, you know, that sometimes people aren't in their seats. And I'll use the Devils as an example. For years, people would turn on Devils games, see all those lower bowl seats empty, and think there was nobody at the game. But they're all downstairs in the super-duper Wombo season ticket holders restaurant eating lobster and stuff.
Right.
So it's like they're coming up with ways for people not to be in the arena, and it ends up being a really bad look for the team on television.
Yeah, and it was interesting because they made that reference last night on the broadcast, and then Doc chipped in, and Doc doesn't usually say things too controversial, but he chipped in and said that the coach said that that's a problem. I mean, it's a problem. And by the way, they've only won five games there. But the coach is actually saying that this is a problem. We're trying to get the people to come inside the building or inside the arena portion of the building and pull for the team, and we can't get them into the arena. And if the coach is noticing that, you know, then you wonder a little bit about, you know, the thing should be the game. There's nothing more exciting than a live hockey game, and folks would rather watch it on big screens in the little, you know, in the restaurants and stuff.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's a situation where, you know, it's all still trying to relearn year too, right? Like, you know, when you've gone to the Joe all your life for Detroit games, and all of a sudden you're in a new building, you're kind of, you have to actually kind of for a little bit. I remember that too as a Devils fan when they left Brendan Byrne and went to Newark, which is a great, great building, but it's a different vibe. Same thing with Islander fans in Brooklyn. Same time anybody goes from one arena to an next, you have to kind of, you know, find the new traditions and find your footing and the new familiarity as a fan. So that's probably part of it too.
You can't, if you're going to put Hockey Town, though, on your ice, if you're going to write Hockey Town in the middle of your ice like that, and you're on national TV, and you got the Boston Bruins in town, can't look like that on TV. I'm sorry. I mean, it can't look like that. You take that hockey, we'll take it. I mean, Nashville can take it. I mean, because Darty, you people, ESPN, have said that Nashville's the best place and have any sport to go watch a game. You know, you wouldn't see that. In a lot of places, you wouldn't see that. I'm saying is that that's a big city with a lot of people. It says Hockey Town, and they're not acting like Hockey Town, and their team sucks.
Fair point. And, you know, Detroit's been, you know, in jeopardy of losing that Hockey Town moniker for a while, not only because of the ESPN putting Nashville over, but also, I mean, Minnesota has long claimed that they shouldn't be Hockey Town if Minnesota is, in fact, the state of hockey.
That's not a bad point. Greg Wyshynski with us. On a serious note, I mean, how much trouble is Jeff Blashall in? I mean, is he, you know, because I had heard earlier in the week that they said that he could get blown out this week if they didn't start winning hockey games, and I thought they had that one in the bag last night, and they, you know, they lose it in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the possibility is there, and if he does go, I mean, one assumes it's the pressures of being in a new building and wanting to try to maximize profit there as much as you can, because in all honesty, like, this team's not really going anywhere, right? So like him playing out the string and then reevaluating the coaching position and after the season is probably the thing they can do. If they fire him and go for an interim guy to seduce the team and try to make it exciting and try to get to off bubble just to get some more fannies in the seats, who knows? I mean, but I mean, honestly, like, an honest assessment of that team is that they're not a contending team this year.
And I think there's a lot of things that we don't understand about Kobe, or maybe didn't, that people understood as time went on. I mean, this is a guy that was a very, very bright guy. I mean, he, you know, of course, now we've got the one and done rules. He would have had to go and play, you know, college basketball for a year and, you know, he's one of the rare guys that was able to make that jump immediately. But, you know, I always thought it was fascinating that the best player at UCLA was when he was walking the halls playing for the Lakers and going to school at UCLA. You know, but I don't think people really realize just how brilliant this guy is with the multiple languages he speaks and so on.
He was a brilliant kid. He wanted to go to college. His parents were out of money. His father had played pro basketball in the NBA for 8 years and then 8 years in Italy. And we didn't realize their financial issues. But as Sonny Vaccaro explained to me, you know, they paid Kobe millions. They kicked his parents hundreds of thousands of dollars. Adidas hadn't been able to find somebody who wanted to go from high school to the pros, and Kobe really didn't want to do that. Before he signed the deal in the spring of his senior year in high school with Adidas, he looked at Sonny Vaccaro and said, "Mr. Vaccaro, is there any way that I could still go to college and my parents could have this money?"
Now, he did go to – I mean, did he end up graduating? I mean, I know he went to UCLA. He took classes at UCLA early on in his Laker career. Does he end up actually getting a college degree or no?
He hasn't gotten a degree yet. He has done plenty of coursework. And, you know, he's a guy with all kinds of different media companies, and he's into film, and he's into all kinds of writing. But he was doing a lot of that when he was a kid, too. This was a guy with an active mind at a young age.
And he was a guy that was not received real well early on, right? I mean, he was a guy that, you know, wasn't treated real well by the other guys. And I think he had a little bit of that, you know, what Charles Barkley talks about sometimes when he was talking about Russell Wilson and how he would be criticized of not being, quote, black enough and that kind of stuff. But Kobe was kind of isolated early on in his career, wasn't he?
He was very isolated. When I first got to know him as a teenager on the Lakers, today the NBA is a very young league. It's filled with young one-and-done guys. But Kobe was the first guy paid lots of money to turn pro. As Rick Fox told me years ago, when he got to that veteran Lakers team and he was making all this money from Adidas, they all looked at him like somebody who was cutting in line at the cafeteria.
Yeah. Roland Lazenby with us. The book is called Showboat, The Life of Kobe Bryant. It's available everywhere coming up in 2 days ago. And so this would be a great thing to get for a Christmas gift for the NBA fan or sports fan on your list. That's for sure. I love I'm not a Lakers fan. I'm a Knicks guy. But I love the whole Kobe and Shaq deal together. But man, Shaq really played up that Kobe's, you know, is my little brother type of thing. It seemed like it was inevitable that it would end. How great could it have been though? Could they have gotten six like Jordan did? I mean, if they had stayed together, just how good could that have been?
Well, you know, they probably left several on the table. But their conflict really wasn't different. I remember interviewing George Mikan and Jim Pollard from the 1940s and 50s Lakers. And, you know, basketball, those big centers have always set up on the block, and those slashers want to get to the basket, and those guys are parked in their way. That was the same deal with the great Elgin Baylor and Wilt Chamberlain. And it was certainly the same deal with Shaq and Kobe. It was just a traffic jam. The game isn't like that today. You know, the bigs are now out on the perimeter setting screens and maybe rolling to the basket, but just as often popping to the perimeter to shoot a jumper.
This is one that I'm really looking forward to. I got it in my top 10 bowl games when I listed them on the Tuesday top 10. The LSU-Notre Dame game has just got great optics. They played a wonderful game in the Music City Bowl a couple of years ago. And now LSU is a 3-point favorite over Notre Dame that was supposed to be a Final Four team and kind of crumbled down the stretch. What do you think?
Yeah, and Notre Dame's just not the same. I mean, they did beat Navy, but even Army beat Navy. Third time in the last 12 years that these teams have met up here in this bowl game. LSU won the 06 game, and that was in the Sugar Bowl when they met 41-14, and Notre Dame won the Music City Bowl 31-28 in 2014. LSU is playing their 18th straight bowl game, and they won and covered the last two here. Kelly, not a real good bowl coach, 2-7 against the spread his last nine bowl games here. Since that loss to Troy, LSU's been a different team. I thought that, you know, you might see Ed Ogeron. He might be a one-and-done coach, but this defense even turned it around, held Bama's rushing attack to just 3.2 yards per carry and only 116 yards, and that's how Notre Dame likes to travel here. Low-scoring battle. I like LSU 20-14.
Yeah, you know, if LSU had just taken care of Troy, the narrative on them would be so different. It'd be a 10-win team, and I think they might have been ranked, you know, in the top 10.
But that's what's crazy about these two teams. I mean, a lot of people after that Troy game got off LSU, and then
they forgot about
steamrolled pretty much through the rest of the season. And same with Missouri at one point. Everyone thought they were done.
Yeah. This game, the Peach Bowl, I think Auburn drew the short straw here on this deal because they played there in the SEC championship game. They opened the season in that building next year, so they're going there three straight games. Their fans, I mean, do they really want to go there? And you're playing UCF, which is everybody's little darling from the AAC, and, oh, they should have been in the Final Four and watched them beat up on, you know, on big bad Auburn out of the SEC. I mean, for Auburn, this is like you know, you can't win. I've been saying it all week. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, beating baby seals or something. If you win, you're supposed to win. If you don't win, you're a laughingstock. And they're 9.5-point favorites. What they got going for them is that running back from UCF just came out and popped off saying that the SEC doesn't have that much speed. But 9.5 for Auburn against UCF. Do they do like Wisconsin did against Western Michigan, or do they do like Alabama did against Utah?
I think they're trying to trap you. I think they're trying to get you to bet Auburn here. Think, oh, okay, you know, they're a much better, more talented team. They'll win the game by double digits, 10, 14, at least 17 points. But here's the problem. Without their top two running backs, and Petway and also Johnson, who I don't, even if he tries to play, he's not 100%. If you watch the press conference and you watch the way their coaches were talking about it, doesn't sound like he's close, even close to 100%. And UCF, you know, they may not have as talented players as Auburn, but trust me, their top two running backs are better than Auburn's number three and number four. And I think the reason their defense really, you know, they don't have a whole lot of depth like some of these SEC teams, so they wore down as the season progressed. But with that time off, I think it'll help them. Frost is coming back to coach him here. You know, what are they playing for? I don't see anything here. I like Auburn to win the game 34-30, but a UCF to cover.
Which leads us to what kind of guys are going to utilize this early signing period. Do you think it's going to be a bunch of the five stars? Is it going to be guys that you know, have been long-time commits? Might it be guys that are kind of, you know, quick to want to get it out of the way? Or do you think, you know, who signs during this three-day period coming up next week?
I think that is the $64,000 question. There is so much uncertainty surrounding this. I don't think anybody truly knows. The coaches don't know. I think the kids are in somewhat of a panic because now it's becoming real. They still may not know quite what's going on with coaching staffs, not just the head coach, as I just referenced. I think that makes them nervous. And let's not forget that in recruiting, by adding this early signing period, you've also given the prospect an easy way out. So if they don't feel comfortable, they just withhold and they wait until February. The problem with that is, and I know these conversations are happening right now because I've talked to several head coaches in the last 10 days, a couple of which that were hired in the last 2 weeks, and they're flat out telling kids, if you're verbally committed here and you don't sign, we're not honoring your scholarship. You will be replaced. There is no guarantee we will take you in February. So those kids need to understand. So I think you end up having three types of kids here, Tom. You have the long-term verbal commitment, the guy that's been committed to you for maybe 6, 8, 9 months, he's shut things down, he's not taking visits officially or unofficially, that guy, that's the one that's going to sign. I don't think you worry about that guy. Then you have the player that's maybe taken 3 of his official visits in the last 6 weeks, still has a couple of left, and he's committed to you 3 weeks ago. I would really worry about that guy because, to me, I don't feel like that guy's done with his process yet. So he might be committed. I wouldn't count on him. And then each and every school is going to have what they call their silent commits, you know, 4 or 5 guys that they feel like have been committed to them for a long time, but just haven't publicly stated it. Everybody claims they have them. Nobody really knows. And I'll say this, roughly 70% of the ESPN 300 is verbally committed right now. I don't think we'll see anywhere near that number signed.
between the 20th and 22nd.
Well, and that's the other part of it, too, is you've got different kinds of coaching staffs. I think the coaches will be that way, you know, in terms of pressuring kids to go ahead and sign on the ones that are committed to them. But then on the next phone call, they might be talking to a kid that they're still working, Justin Fields or somebody like that, and saying that, you know, hey, slow down. You know, I just got here. Like, you know, let's just you don't need to sign yet. You got until February and so on and so forth. So it's almost like, you know, the phone call is going to be totally different from a kid when you call a kid that's committed to you versus calling another kid that's still working.
Absolutely, and that's the game. Those are the chess pieces on the board that you have to deal with, because each kid gets recruited differently. Each kid's in a different scenario, in a different situation, whether he's not committed, whether he's currently committed, whether you're trying to make room for him. And those are all things that are taking place prior to this first signing period. I think what's going to be maybe even more fascinating as we head down the stretch, you know, 6 weeks from next week, as we head down the stretch, you're going to end up now basically seeing a bunch of college programs all sitting around the table playing poker. The only difference is you can see everybody's cards, because now the player pool has shrunk. The boards have been identified. Who's available, who's not, who's still on the board, who's off the board, how many more guys do we need? Well, we need this many, and we know that team got those guys, so we can't take that kid. Those are the types of things that are going to be very interesting as we head through February, because another, I think, unintended consequence of this situation, and let's just hypothetically, Tom, say that Neil Brown at Troy has had a really good player committed to him for about 6 months. He's kind of a tweener guy. The Power Five schools like him, but he's a little bit further down on the board. And all of a sudden, in years past, that guy's been committed to Troy. Then all of a sudden, you get into late January, and Mississippi State misses on two or three late. And what do? They swoop in, and they sign that kid that was committed to Troy for 6 months. Now look at it a year in advance from previous installments of recruiting. That kid's no longer going to be available, Tom. He will have signed. And so who now do you go to next on your board? That's what's going to be very, very interesting. And if some of those group of five caliber kids feel like they still got a shot with a Power Five school, they may not sign. And then that's going to be fun to watch.
So there you have it. That is your rapid rewind for this, the 14th of December, 2017. We'll come back with a final segment next, right here on 730-1039. Yep.
Sports Radio, The Ump, because we care.
This is Tiki Barber with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Cremo Shaving Cream Superior Beard Products, Beard Boldly. I'm a big fan of Scott Frost. He looks the part, carries himself right, and keeps achieving. The former Nebraska National Championship quarterback got drafted into the NFL as an athlete without a position, played for half a decade, then found his true calling in coaching. And that's not always an easy transition to make, because it's easier to be good at your job than it is to teach others how to be good at theirs. The hours of a head coach are endless. The pressure to succeed weighs like a ton of bricks. Despite all of that, Frost in his first job took a University of Central Florida squad that went winless in 2015 to undefeated and American Athletic Conference champions this year. Now comes what has to be his opportunity of a lifetime, a return to Lincoln to try to bring the Cornhuskers back to prominence. And just like the rest of his career, I'm sure success will find him. I'm Tiki Barber. Guys, the holiday season is upon us. Did you know that the hair on your face requires different care than the hair on your head? Cremo Beard Products have you covered. The perfect gift for beards of all sizes. Beard and scruff cream to relieve that itch, softener to soothe and condition, revitalizing oils to hydrate, a refreshing wash to keep it clean, and balm to tame and style. Beard Boldly. Look for the Cremo Crown in the shave aisle at Walmart, Walgreens, Target, Rite Aid, CVS, and on Amazon.
When it comes to the holidays, the hustle and bustle doesn't stop. Well, unless your car breaks down. Whatever this season brings, it helps to have Hum by Verizon. Hum is the connected car system that assists and empowers drivers. Now you can check your car's health from your phone, get help if you're stuck on the side of the road, and if Hum detects a crash, it can automatically notify emergency services. It's a smart way to stay informed about your car and keep your family safer on the road. This holiday season, get Hum and get where you're going. Visit Hum.com or your local Verizon store for special holiday savings.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
It's Thursday Night Football, where the Broncos will meet the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. Coverage starts at 7 p.m. All right here on The Ump.
Start your gift shopping yet?
I will today. It's time to shop at Macy's.
Says the man who never does his own gift shopping.
But this is different. We save on hundreds of gift specials.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Plus thousands more specials in-store and online.
Uh-huh.
Or we get an extra 20 or 15% off with our Macy's Carter Savings Pass.
Wow, you've really done your homework.
This year, just call me Santa.
Are you just saying this so I'll put out milk and cookies for you?
Now that you mention it. The perfect gift brings people together. It's time to shop at Macy's. Savings off sale prices. Exclusions apply.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. A healthy birth is the dream of every parent. But for hundreds of thousands of families with a baby born too soon, the reality is their baby's first home is the newborn intensive care unit. It's the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. This is a crisis that knows no boundaries. 15 million babies are born prematurely worldwide. Nearly 1 million will die before their first birthday. Do something today. Help the March of Dimes provide education and support to families and fund life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are five times more likely to have hepatitis C. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you could still have hepatitis C, a serious disease that's a leading cause of liver cancer. If you were born from 1945 to 65, you should get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments can cure this disease. Talk to your doctor about getting tested. A message from the CDC.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog, Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, final segment. Dog After Dark Hour, the Tom Abraham Show. All right, T-Mac, give us some of the highlights here as we get closer to 6 o'clock hour. Give us a little doghouse sports report.
Texas A&M quarterback Jake Hubenak reveals why he never played again after the New Mexico game. It turns out he had a torn labrum and underwent surgery on that today. UCF has initiated the trash talk this bowl season as they target Auburn in the SEC. Running back Adrian Killens was quoted by saying, "SEC football, they don't have a lot of speed, honestly, so Auburn hasn't seen any speed like we have here." Oh, boy. Auburn's second leading scorer, Mustafa Heron, returned to practice after missing most of last two games with back spasms. His return comes ahead of the Tigers' showdown against MTSU this Saturday in Birmingham. And the NCAA has upheld the show cause penalty on former Tide assistant coach Bo Davis after he knowingly met with four recruits before coaches were allowed to do so and provided false information to Alabama and the NCAA about the meeting. And Saints running back and probable offensive rookie of the year, Alvin Kamara, will play Sunday against the Jets. According to head coach Sean Payton, Kamara left Thursday's game against the Falcons with a concussion. And UCF's Scott Frost wins the Eddie Robinson Coach of the Year award. I'm Tony Mack. That is your Doghouse Sports Report.
Speaking of Scott Frost, by the way, I mean, have you seen what this guy is doing, trying to do both, handling Nebraska recruiting and also, of course, preparing his UCF team for the Peach Bowl? According to Max Olson, Frost has been flying back and forth between both Omaha, or where is it, Lincoln, Nebraska, and Orlando. On Wednesday, yesterday, Frost landed in Orlando at 5:30 in the morning, and then he got back to Lincoln at 7:30 at night to host a walk-on recruiting event. 3 hours later, he got back on the jet and flew back to Orlando. But he swung by Fresno, California on his way to Orlando to land a quarterback that he stole away from Tennessee, Adrian Martinez. Tennessee also lost Michael Penix a three-star quarterback as well. Man, just crazy, these guys trying to double dip. He's young. He can handle it. All right. Coming up tomorrow, it's Football Friday and the start of a brand new Grand Trifecta. You be here. I'll be here. Antonio will be here on 730-1039.
Sports Radio. 730-1039. The Ump. The Ump.
Do you need Duracell batteries this coming holiday season? Maybe not. Maybe you could trust your kids will be just as happy without them. Maybe you could trust they won't remember you as the parents who spent this Christmas morning driving to a mini mall to get the batteries you forgot while wearing a robe. Or you could just trust Duracell and buy them right now.
The biggest last-minute holiday deals are at Rent-A-Center. Starting December 15th, get anything in the store for just $20.18 until January 6th, 2018. Only at Rent-A-Center. Valid on new agreements entered between December 15th and December 23rd only. $20.18 covers rental fee only through January 6th, 2018. Does not include taxes, optional fees, or service. Beginning January 7th, regular rental rates apply. Regular rate, term, and total costs vary by item selected. Offer does not reduce total to acquire ownership or purchase option amounts. Cannot be combined with other offers. Participating U.S. locations only.
Touchdown! College football is finally back.
Let's go!
And the best place to catch all the games is Jefferson Street Pub in downtown Huntsville.
A 140-inch screen and four other flat-screen TVs.
So you won't miss a minute of the action. Thursday nights, $5 bottles of wine. Saturdays, 100-ounce Bud Light Towers for only $10. Plus appetizers and entrees for the game. Your new football headquarters is Jefferson Street Pub in downtown Huntsville. 111 Jefferson Street, just behind the parking garage.
Let's go!
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. I actually don't even think about food. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad is it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. The second month is where I saw a drastic change in the size of my stomach. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Here's a list of reasons why AT&T Prepaid is the perfect holiday gift, according to Marshall and Viv.
When you switch to AT&T Prepaid, you get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free.
And when you switch to AT&T Prepaid, you get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free.
I said that.
Happy holidays?
AT&T Prepaid has no annual contracts.
It's going on my holiday list for sure.
And AT&T's reliable network.
The AT&T network.
There's no hidden fees.
No credit checks.
No compromises.
No strings attached.
AT&T Prepaid has plans for people who like great deals.
Plans for people who love gift giving.
Flexibility.
Reliability.
All the abilities.
AT&T Prepaid is for people in places where it snows a lot, like Syracuse.
And plans for people in places where it snows not a lot, like Miami.
I love snow.
That makes one of us.
The list is long.
Really long.
This holiday season, switch to AT&T Prepaid to get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free and all the advantages of AT&T's reliable network with no compromises. In stores or at att.com/prepaid.
Limited time offer available at participating AT&T stores. Requires new line of service, $45-$65 plan and auto pay. Reliable network claim for third-party sources, fees, coverage, and other restrictions.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be?
first, I had to decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more, so I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore, and frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up impossible.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports Flash.
I'm Rich Ackerman. Week 15 of the NFL season opens tonight with the Broncos.